as I was saying, I love that song. It is marvellous, it is wonderful that Jesus, who is God, just pause and reflect on that. Jesus, who is God, died for me. And he took all my sin, all my sorrow, completely undeserved, and he died. And I'm going to see him in glory. Yeah, so the sun's shining today, worship has been wonderful today, but how wonderful is it going to be when we see Jesus and we're going to be singing all tribes, all tongues, worshipping the God of the universe. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be well good. I'm well looking forward to that. God is good. He is good. He is. Sorry, we like to worship. Right, we're going to read, if you've got your Bibles or your iPads, apparently they do the Bible in paper print now, it's not just iPads, apparently, so it's an old joke, but open your Bibles, we're on Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, because I like it, it's the easiest English, so you ready, so open whatever, it'll be on the screen as well, if Adam's there we go, so... Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And Jesus ate nothing all this time. Are you ready for the understatement of the year? And he became very hungry. Have you ever tried not eating for 40 days? He was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone." And then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of all these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, just jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. This is the word of God. So, chapter 4, we're up to Jesus' temptation. So what had happened? So Jesus had been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist had kind of broken, smashed into the story really, and started talking to Pharisees and tax collectors. And what did he tell? He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Yeah, so a word for this moment, I think, for our church is we need to prepare the way for the Lord. Yeah, how do we do that? Yeah, Marlene, what's your word? You keep telling me. Be ready. We need to be ready. So we need to remove the rocks in our lives. And he actually preached quite a social gospel. He said, if you see somebody with nothing and you have a load of stuff, give it to him. Yeah? And if you are a tax collector, don't take too much money. Don't accrue too much wealth. And don't be dishonest. And he said, if you're a Roman soldier, don't be content with your pay. Who's content with their pay? That's the first message. That's preparing the way. That's before Jesus come, before the Holy Spirit. Brutal. Read it. It's brutal. But it's preparing the way. We need to prepare the way in this church, in our lives, through quite practical means sometimes. And then Jesus was baptized, and we have that beautiful picture of the Trinity. The Father said, "This is my Son, who I'm so pleased about." And then the dove, like a Holy Spirit, like a dove, comes down, and we've got the full Trinity, the full family of God. And then we went through the generations of Jesus. We didn't do that last week, but we talked about God was part of a family. Jesus was in the context of a family, and the church is a family. That's a part of a people. And it also shows that Jesus, this Messiah, was fully God, fully man. Don't ask me how it works, but fully God, fully man. And then Jesus, full of the Spirit, is led into the wilderness. Do you know what? If you're filled with the Spirit, often the Spirit of God can take us into places that are quite difficult, like the wilderness. It's not all happy, chappy, clapping being a Christian. Yeah, so if you want an easy life, don't become a Christian. If you want a really, really more complicated life, become a Christian and get filled with the Spirit. Because it's very likely that sometimes you're going to get led into the wilderness, which are difficult things. Your life is not going to be easy. It's not an easy life being a Christian. Who here, a Christian, has had an easy life? It's not, is it? Yeah, but the Spirit of God took Jesus into the wilderness, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's key. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe in this church that you, when you become a believer, God's Spirit comes into you, but also through sin and all sorts, you leak sometimes, and we want to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit till we're full. And that's awesome. Yeah, letting God's will completely rule in our lives. And that's what happened to Jesus. And it took him to the wilderness. Yeah, that's really counterintuitive, isn't it? And then the story goes, the devil tempts him for 40 days. So that's interesting. When I was thinking about it, it wasn't a singular event. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. I imagine he was tempted every day for 40 days. Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, and numbers, so Michael will know this, have significance in the Bible. Yeah, and the 40 days is significant. So who else can think of 40 days? Stories with 40 days in the Bible? Pardon? Lent? Yeah, so Lent, that comes from, yeah, absolutely. Is there any other stories, 40 days in the Bible? Pardon? Noah. Yeah, so Noah was tested in the ark. He didn't know what was going to happen. God never really told him, in fairness, for 40 days. Another 40 days. Another story of 40 days. There's loads of the people of Israel. What happened to the people of Israel in 40 days? Go on. They did. They could have gone there in 4 days, but God took them for 40 days in the wilderness. Yeah, and it's a time of testing. It was a time of testing for the people of Israel. So Jesus, in this 40 days, it says, was very hungry. So have you ever fasted for 40 days? I cannot imagine the hunger that Jesus must have experienced, yeah? I think I've probably gone for about 3 days, I think, and I was quite hungry. 40 days is a long time. So we would have been really testing. That's a real understatement. So that's a scenario. And then in that, the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become a loaf of bread. So Satan says, if you are the Son of God, make these stones into a loaf of bread. Do you think Jesus could have done that? I think 100% Jesus could have done that. 100%. So the question is, if you are, so Jesus could have done that, definitely. Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, he could have done that. But what's the problem then? So, and he's hungry as well. So what's the problem with him turning stones to bread? The problem is the motivation and who's telling him to turn the stones into bread. Yeah? The problem is that there's nothing intrinsically wrong with turning stones to bread, if you got, but it's Satan who's leading him to turn the stones into bread. Very often it's not the activity that we do that is wrong, it's often the motivation behind the activity that's sinful. And if Satan tells you to do stuff, don't do it. What does Jesus do when he's told to turn stones into bread? What does he say? He uses the scripture. He says, Jesus says, no, this is pivotal. The scripture says, people do not live by bread alone. Does anybody know where that's from? Deuteronomy, look at him, read his Bible, well done Silvanus. Deuteronomy, which means the second law of Moses. Yeah, but interestingly, he doesn't give the full scripture. He assumes that Jesus, that Satan knows the rest of it. The full scripture is that man shall not live by bread alone, but, and this is a bit he doesn't, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, Satan knows scripture. He knows how to use it against people and bring them into sin. Just be very careful. Take the full counsel of God. Yeah? Who else was tested like this? Who else got hungry in the desert? The Israelites. The Israelites. So the compare and contrast here. The Israelites got hungry and were tested in the desert. And what did, when they got hungry, and when they'd just been given this scripture from Deuteronomy, pretty much, what did they do? Did they say, no, God will provide? No. What did they do? They blamed God and they grumbled and they said it were better back in Egypt, where we came from, than it is now. Jesus wins. Man fails. Yeah, there's a compare and contrast there, isn't there? Yeah? Are you in a situation where you're waiting for God to supply? What you do, what's your attitude? Is the temptations, are you waiting for something for God to do? Do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Who else circumnavigated God's word? So there's another guy in the Bible called Abraham, and God made him a very, very special promise. Yeah, and he said that his wife would have a child, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, but he got to be a very, very old man, and his wife got to be a very, very old lady, and he still hadn't had a baby. What did he do? Did he trust God? He did ultimately, yeah. But actually what he tried to do, he was tempted, yeah, and he circumnavigated God's promises. And what did he do? There's somebody called Hagar. So he had a slave girl, and Hagar had a child called Ishmael, and he kind of did it through his own strength, yeah. He didn't trust God's word to him. Do you trust God's word to you? Is there something in your life that you need to trust God? Well, don't circumnavigate God's word. God's promises are good. Yeah, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Is that a good promise? Amen. Do you believe it? You don't look so sure. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. And the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please, I will give it all to you if you worship me. Does Satan have the power to give kingdoms and authorities to people? He does, actually he does, absolutely, yeah, under the remit of God, yeah. So Jesus never denied that Satan could do that. Satan certainly can. So in place in the Bible it says Satan is the prince of this world. He does have authority to do things, which is, and he can do it. And often somebody was asking me, so this is, he's not here today, but they were asking me, how come bad people seem to do really well in life? Well, bad people do really well in life for the moment. Yeah, think of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was a terrible man, but from an earthly perspective, he did very, very well, didn't he? He ended up running a country and doing all sorts of things. Yeah, Satan, if you go Satan's way, very often you can do very, very well from an earthly prosperity perspective. Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, bad people can do well. Yeah, but they won't ultimately do well. Satan has limited authority, and Satan certainly does not have your best interest in heart. He really doesn't. Satan wants to supplant God's glory. If Satan is telling you to do something, he won't say, I'm Satan, I'm here to tell you to do something. He'll want you to do something that's against God's law. For his glory. And actually what he's doing here is Satan is trying to turn Jesus into the first Antichrist. That sounds quite frightening, isn't it? He's trying to subvert Jesus. And probably actually if he would have followed Satan, he probably would have ended up as Caesar of the Roman Empire or whatever. We don't know. But he wouldn't have been following God's commands. What did Jesus do when he's offered all the power and authority in the world? He uses the word of God. Yeah, so he says, the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Are you only serving God and Jesus? Are you serving anything else? Think about it. Serve God only. Jesus uses the scriptures. And Satan tempts him. And again, Satan won't necessarily come to you as, hi, I'm Satan, I want you to do this for me. He'll subvert. He'll come as something that's shining and good and something that feels good. Yeah, just like he did in Genesis. And it is. It's all about God's glory. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Was he right? He's quoting scripture there, is Satan. He's quoting scripture. And he says, he does a lot, he says, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Do you know what? Often Satan attacks who you are. He wants you to think, Steph, that you are not a child of the Most High God of the universe who loves you so much. He wants you to think, Sue, that you're not a child of the God, Most High God of the universe. He wants you to think that, and he'll attack that. And if you are a child of the Most High God of the universe, who is so loved, who Jesus died for, what has Satan got to offer you? Nothing. What has Satan got to offer you? Nothing. Yeah, he'll attack who you are. And he's here, he's attacking Jesus. He says, look, if you are the Son of God, do this. Do you realise that you are a son, you are cherished, you are loved by God the Father? He loves you so much. There is nothing you can do that will make him love him any more or any less, Lord. He hates the sin in your life. But if you're in Christ, he can't see it anymore. If you've repented, you've come to him, accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that's who he sees. You know this, don't you? But Satan will attack, say, God isn't looking. God hasn't got your best interest in heart. He doesn't love you. And that's exactly what he did with Jesus. Exactly. Yeah, Satan's tricks are very, very old, from the first pages of the Bible. If you are a child of God, you'll never go through difficult times. Is that true? No. Yeah? So, yeah, you will go through difficult, but he still loves you very, very much. He
He's still God. He's still good.
And Satan encourages Jesus to test God. It encourages him to do something that's his father's will. Satan throws in some scriptures to boot, and he says, he said he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot. Yeah, that could have been true. That might have happened. I don't know. But it was against Father God's will. It was a vanity project. Yeah, the spirit behind him, Satan, told him to do it. And Satan uses scripture. Again, like I've said before, he twists scripture. It's so important that you read your Bible and take on the full counsel of God. I had a lovely Jehovah's Witness guy knock on my door. Bless him. Poor lad. Well, I said, mate, you're all right. I'm a pastor of a Christian church. You're honestly not going to turn me into Jehovah's Witness. But he was throwing bits of scripture all over the place. And actually, most of it, yeah, absolutely. But he hadn't taken the full counsel, the full weight of scripture. That's really, really important. You can throw all sorts of... You can take God is dead from scripture. People do that for a joke, but it's there. But it's not in context. Yeah? So important. Ron's nodding his head, you know, don't you? It's so important. And Satan has taken this little bit of scripture out and misused it. And if you find me taking a bit of scripture out of context and misusing it, ignore me.
Not tell you off.
To tell me off, yeah. I'm sure I've just reversed us. Yeah. So Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Yeah? So he uses scripture again. You know all this, don't you? You know this story so well. And when the devil had finished, it says, tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So what's happened? Why do we care about this story? Why do we care? Yeah, what's going on in this story? Well, Jesus, when I realised this blew my mind. This is actually one of the most important stories in the Bible. Because I'm like, wow, that just happened. Jesus had passed the test. Right, just roll back. Jesus had passed the test. Get this. So every person from Adam down, Satan had come to them and tempted them in some way. And what had happened? They'd failed the test. Every human being from the beginning of time up until Jesus, and actually after Jesus as well, has been tempted by Satan. You lot as well, me as well, has been tempted throughout their life by Satan. And at some point, you have given in. That means we lose. Yeah, we lost. Yeah, that means that every Adam lost. Yeah, Cain lost. Abel lost. Moses was tempted, lost. David had lost. He saw a good-looking bird taking a bath, lost. Yeah, they've all been tempted. There's no person that had fought this battle with Satan and had won. Yeah? That's mad, isn't it? And what has happened here is Jesus... So Satan was like, I am the winner. He won every single battle like this. What has just happened here is Jesus, fully God, fully man, has been tempted in the desert. And what has happened to Satan? He has lost. Satan, for the first time ever, has lost. That day must have sent shockwaves through hell. Can you imagine? They would have freaked out because every single battle that Satan had done against every single man had lost. And Jesus had beaten Satan. Round one, crushed him. That is awesome, isn't it? What does that mean? That means that Satan can be defeated. And who can defeat him? Jesus can defeat him. That means that sin and temptation in your life that have never failed up to that point can be beaten. Who by? By Jesus. That is exciting news, isn't it? But I started thinking about that. It's like, that is mad. That is a serious, but Satan must have had a, he must have had a gin and tonic at the end of that day, honestly. It was bad. He must, that is, that the earth and the universe, I think, probably shook at that point. That's mind-blowing. It's a little bit understated of the story, that, isn't it? But Jesus wins. And Satan scurries off. And do you know what he does? He goes and he subverts everybody else because he knows he can't subvert Jesus. And so, round two, Jesus dies on a cross. And he loses that as well. Double crush. The serpent's head is crushed. It's mad, isn't it? Jesus was the sinless man. A new Adam, a new beginning. Yeah, at that point, here is a man that cannot be destroyed through sin. Amen. Jesus won. And Jesus won because also was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so how do you defeat sin in your life? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. God didn't leave us down here on our own to fend for ourselves. Jesus is still here with us through his Holy Spirit. Yeah, and do you know what? The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, it gives us tongues, it gives us all the wonderful things we saw this morning. But actually, fundamentally, it gives us fruit of the Spirit and power to do what Jesus did to Satan. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday? Yes, you do. Full with the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. What else did Satan do? I don't know whether I can do this. I'll tell you what, this is what Satan did. I need Johnny, I'm going to borrow you. Come up. This is what Satan did. I mean, Jesus did. Pardon? You're Satan. Typecast, right. So here you are, just run at me.
Yeah. That's
what Jesus did. Yeah. How did Jesus defeat sin? He Bible bashed Satan. That's a bit. But see, he used the word of God against Satan. Do you want to defeat sin in your life? Holy Spirit, God's word. Amen. Yeah, he hasn't left you on your own. He's left you his word and his Spirit. A lot of us will be sat here with really bad stuff happening in our lives, and a lot of it that we're all making because of the sin in our lives. Do you want to defeat it? Do you want to defeat addiction? Do you want to defeat unruliness, anger, all the stuff that messes up your life? God's Holy Spirit and God's Word. Awesome. And that's what happened. What else is going on? Well, he crushed Satan by using living Scripture and the Holy Spirit, yeah? And again, do you know, he almost uses God's word as a sword, doesn't he? So Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. He took Satan down with a double-edged sword of God's word. And do you know what? If Jesus needed Scripture in his life, as followers, we need Scripture in our lives. Yeah, we really do. Not as like, do you know what? It's good. Scripture is good. Yeah, it's the power of God to defeat sin in your life. It's there. I've got 20 Bibles in my house, yeah. All of them are swords. Probably less Bibles, more reading probably sometimes, yeah. Yeah, but if you want to defeat sin, you've got God's word. That's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did. It's really important to read Scripture. I don't care how you read it, when you read it, just read it, because it's awesome. If you want to fight Satan, sharpen your sword. Sharpen your sword. What else about Scripture? Yeah, well, when fighting Satan, I'm sure Jesus could have gone, actually, Satan, I'm God, so do one. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have just said, look, I'm God. What are you doing? And used his own authority to get rid of Satan. But what did he do? He reverted to the authority of Scripture. Right? Now, Jesus is God. Now, if Jesus reverts to the authority of Scripture, meaning it's authentic, true, right, then that would make sense for me to be a follower of Jesus, to revert to the authority of Scripture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if you want to know whether I think the Bible is true or not, well, Jesus clearly thought that the Bible was true. So therefore, if I'm a follower of Jesus, the Bible is true. Yeah, and actually, he quotes very often in Deuteronomy from the bits that they go, oh, they just made it up. No, Jesus didn't think they made it up. Moses wrote that. Yeah, if God thinks that the Bible is true, I believe the Bible is true. If Jesus uses the authority of Scripture to defeat Satan, it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, and I would hope it's good enough for you. The Bible is true. Yeah. The authority of Scripture is fundamental to your Christian life. Yeah? If you don't believe the Bible is true, what are you bothering being a Christian? I'm going to say it as brutally as that. Now, you might quibble over bits and bobs here, but actually, Jesus believed the Bible was true. Every word of it, he used it. That's where his authority came from. So, some of it, he was God as well, but he referred to the authority of Scripture. It is true. If you're struggling about the authority of Scripture, come and talk to me after, yeah? Yeah, because there is some weird bits in it, but we'll do our best. My testimony is I really struggle with the authority of Scripture. Actually, I struggle with the Bible. It was my main thing that it's not. Jesus didn't really walk on the water. He was just walking on a reedy bank, and the apostles got it wrong, and Noah didn't really exist, and they weren't really an Adam and Eve. It was just man's understanding of what like was happening at the time they wrote, and it was all written, 200 AD, and then Constantine put the New Testament together, and they put it all to bits and bobs, and that was my real struggle with Scripture. Yeah, but actually, God spoke to me and said, you know what? This is how thick I am sometimes. This is how I have a child's mentality. But I thought, you know what? If I was God, and I was God of the universe, and I wanted to say something, and I was writing a book, I'd say what I mean. And you know what? I've trusted my own way. I've trusted the media's way, the world's way of living for so long, it ended up very grey and very bad. Do you know what? And when I put my trust in God's word, yeah, as having authority... Yeah, truth. Yeah, truth. Truth is truth. If truth is true, it can't change. Yeah, it has to be. It's either true or it's not true. It can't be a bit true. It has to be fully truth. And Scripture is fully true. Yeah? When I trusted in God's authority and Scripture, the lights came on and the Holy Spirit came. If you are struggling with the authority of Scripture, go on, check it out. Come talk to me. But I promise you it's true. And I've trusted Scripture ever since. And it is true. And my life is changed for the better. Yeah? So important. It's so important. God's word. And you know what? God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises and he's never let me down. He says what he means. Yeah? He says what he means. I want to finish with a story. Yeah? But it's all about God's word. Yeah? And Scripture is God's word. Yeah? And it's a friend of mine, Andrew Wilson, who's wrote this story. It's actually a children's book I borrowed off Beth. Yeah, but it's wonderful. So listen, this is about God. This is about God's word. Listen, this is a story. In the beginning, God. Everything was shapeless and empty and dark, blobs of unsorted, unformed matter drifting through space, an enormous cosmic splodge, a scribble, and God said, "Light," and it happened. And God said, and it happened. And God said, and it happened. And God said, and the earth did. And God said, and the animals did. And God said, go have children, explore, rule, guard, keep, have the run of the place. Watch out for the one thing. That particular tree brings knowledge of good and evil, and you won't want a piece of that. But otherwise, it's all yours. Enjoy. And God did. And humans did, sorry. And the snake said, did God really say that? Are you going to let Your lives be restricted by what you think, he said. And the humans didn't. And it all went wrong. And God said, and it happened. And God said, and Abraham did. And God said, and it happened. And God said, and Israel didn't. Although sometimes they did, but mostly they didn't. And God said, and it happened. And God said, he is my boy. I love him. Listen. And the snake said, are you really the Son of God? Why not do this then? And Jesus said, it is written. And the snake said, well, what about this over here? And Jesus said, it is written. And the snake said, or this. And Jesus said, it is written. And the human said, who do you think you are? What are you playing at? Nobody can do that except God. If you go there, you'll be killed. Are you mad? Are you demonized? He's blaspheming. No, master, this will never happen to you. And stuff like this. And Jesus said, it is written in the scriptures. And the snake said, give it up, miracle boy. And Jesus said, how else will the scriptures be fulfilled? And the crowd said, crucify him. And it happened. Silence. And the people waited. And so did the angels. And so did creation. And so did the snake. Did God really say? Silence. And God said, light! And it happened. And Jesus rose from the dead. It is written. It is written. God said. God says. Response. Jesus is the winner throughout Scripture. Yeah? If you feel like you're losing, do you know what? Jesus is the winner. And he defeated Satan, defeated sin. Yeah, if you want to be prayed for, in fact, I'm going to ask Andy and Lynn, actually. They're going to be here to pray for people. Yeah, if you want prayer for sin in your life to be defeated, you might think you can't defeat it, but Jesus can. He can. And he did, just like in that story. Yeah, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, come and be prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how you can defeat sin in your life. That's what happened to Jesus. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, come and be prayed for. Come and be prayed for. Yeah, and finally, if you're struggling with the authority of God's word in your life, so a lot of the stuff that's weird in the Bible, it's hard to understand. There's a lot of stuff that is very, very obvious and very clear to understand. If you're struggling with the authority of God's word in your life, or there's an area, yeah, where you just can't, you either don't believe it or you can't believe it or you can't submit to the authority of Scripture, yeah, we want to pray for you to fill you with God's Holy Spirit that you can, yeah? I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back to Silvana, so Pete, yeah? So Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you said it and it happened, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that crushing, round one, crushing defeat of Satan, Lord. We thank you that sin in our lives, through you, Lord Jesus, can be crushed and defeated, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you for your word that is sharper, sharper than a two-edged sword that can cut Satan down and sin down and do all the stuff. Bring life, bring freedom, bring joy, bring happy, bring all these things. Bring fulfillment in your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way. We give you all the glory, all the power, all the honour, which is yours. Amen.